This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together over the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on this Thursday, on the opening day of the 2025 NBA Finals. We have finally reached the championship set around the association. Tonight in Oklahoma City, the Thunder, as a hefty NBA Finals favorite, square off against the Indiana Pacers. Speaking of championships, plenty series starting yesterday on the ice. The Stanley Cup rematch from a season ago, now in 2025, in a different result right from the very jump, in an OT thriller for Donnie's Canadian team up in Edmonton, and a late inning thriller on the softball diamond in Oklahoma City between Texas and Texas Tech in the Women's College World Series final. DRS, plenty of baseball to break down, NFL news here in early June, all of that and plenty more over these 3 hours.
Handing out free bases should be easy in college football. Who would have known the easiest way to hit a great pitcher is he doesn't understand how to walk a batter, so she throws pitches right down the plate at half speed, and you rack in a two-run single there to lift your team up. That's craziness. By the way, softball, shout out. I don't know how anybody gets any base hits against any of those girls with how hard they throw here. But also, Ben, you saw it last night. I mean, the passion in the building right away from the national anthem there for the Canadians coming right out, scoring a goal. It's like, oh, no, Florida's the much better team. What a comeback for Draisaitl and the boys. Conn Smythe, maybe, Ben? We got a lot to get to today.
DRS, his favorite Canadian team, his favorite Western Conference team, and his favorite German hockey player. That would be Leon Draisaitl. With only 31 seconds remaining in OT, he wins it for the Edmonton Oilers, who take game number one of the 2025 Stanley Cup Final on home ice. The assist from Connor McDavid and the back of the net sniped by Draisaitl. The Oilers win 4-3, and they trail DRS 3-1 early in the second period, only for Edmonton to rally and win it in the extra session. Unlike last year, the Oilers will not be in an 0-3 hole in the Cup Final. They take a 1-0 series advantage.
Absolutely massive with that comeback, and Florida never gives those leads up, which they did. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but you know what? Sometimes you see, like, hey, in an NBA arena, team scores 100 points, you get a bucket of chicken, you get a free cheeseburger, you get a free large fry, maybe a chicken sandwich there. How about this for Edmonton? Free gas when the Oilers win. That'll fire up the Alberta area, man. Let's go.
Yes, it certainly will, DRS. So the Oilers take that 4-3 victory in game number one. Canada, as a country, as a nation, is now just 3 wins away from their first Lord Stanley's Cup in over 3 decades. Plenty more around the Stanley Cup Final in just a little bit. The Phoenix Suns now have a new head coach. The Suns tabbing Jordan Ott as their next head man out in the Valley. The fourth different head man for Phoenix in the last 4 years. Ott basically working in the NBA for more than a decade. He has served as an assistant head coach for 9 seasons in 3 stops. The Brooklyn Nets, the LA Lakers, and most recently DRS this previous season with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
In 2 years, Ott is going to be a fantastic assistant coach for Charlotte. I can't wait to watch it happen here, but congratulations getting that job. Get your paycheck now, because you also will be fired within a year and a half to 2 years. Just the way it is in the NBA.
A lot of organizational in line, though, DRS, when you think about the owner, Matt Ishbia, played college hoops as a part of a national championship winning team for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. New GM in Phoenix, Brian Gregory, coached with Izzo on that national championship team at MSU. Jordan Ott got his start in coaching as a video coordinator under Tom Izzo at Michigan State. Many a Sparty tie running deep in this Suns organization. Donnie, I never thought I would say these words here in the 2025 MLB campaign, but the Colorado Rockies have won three consecutive games. The Rockies complete the sweep yesterday on the road in Miami, beating the Fish 3-2. The first sweep for the Rockies since May of last year in 2024.
All three fans got to be furious in Miami who watched that game yesterday and said, how could my Marlins get swept by the Colorado Rockies? Simple. Your team isn't that good. And also, the ebbs and flows of Major League Baseball. You're supposed to win games every once in a while, and the Rockies are finally doing that. I love the team total over 3.5 for the Rockies yesterday. That came up a half run short. But how about this? The two RBI props I picked out, Jordan Beck and Hunter Goodman, both cashed in there. So how do you get that? Two RBI props in your back pocket, but not the team total of 3.5. It happens, but hey, it's the way it is.
DRS, the shortest ever hit, walk-off home run on record yesterday at Fenway Park in a high-scoring game between Boston and the LA Angels. The Red Sox win it 11-9, courtesy of that walk-off home run from Seydon Rafaela. I believe, let's officially confirm, 308 feet, 306 feet. Regardless, right around pesky pole in right field near Yastrzemski corner, if that even exists. The Red Sox get the victory 11-9 over the Halos.
I mean, can you imagine a three-point arc in an NBA game that looks like the Boston outfield at that point? Like, hey, man, better get in the corner. It's a really short three-point shot. Don't shoot it from up top. It's really long way to go. Just one of those quirky things that I do like in Major League Baseball. I don't know how you get a home run that short. It has to, like, wrap around the pole, but he did it.
A two-run walk-off shot for Seydon Rafaela, 308 feet confirmed right in front of pesky pole. The Red Sox avoid a sweep in their three-game midweek set against the Halos. Saquon Barkley, DRS, after a record-setting season in his debut year in Philadelphia, talking about his future beyond the 2025 campaign, saying, although it is not imminent, that when his time in football is done, his retirement more than likely will come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's the way it's supposed to be as a running back. You won a Super Bowl. You had the single best running back season in the history of your sport. Crowned king of Philadelphia. You're on the Madden cover now. More money than you know what to do with here. Hey, man, retire in a couple years. Relax and enjoy the rest of your life as a king in Philadelphia.
On the Green Light podcast of Chris Long, basically said, I'll probably be one of those guys that it would be out of nowhere. I'll probably just wake up one day, whether it's next year or 2 years or 4 years, and just be like, yeah, it's over. Saquon Barkley, the Madden cover star for the reigning Super Bowl champions. DRS, we are on to semifinal Thursday in the women's draw at Roland Garros in Paris at the French Open. Maybe the title match between Aryna Sabalenka and Iga Świątek, the three-time defending champ, starting in just about an hour. Yesterday, though, Novak Djokovic outlasting Alexander Zverev in four sets to advance to a semifinal matchup against world number one, Jannik Sinner.
I mean, is this even on TV at this point? When is this tournament going to get over? And how do you play on clay? I mean, hard court only, man. Come on. Enough with this.
Listen, Djokovic, a hefty underdog for tomorrow's matchup against Sinner. It's on TNT. The great Brian Anderson on the call. Game number one of the WCWS Finals last night in Oklahoma City. Texas Tech had a one-zip lead with the unhittable, the untouchable Nijeri Kennedy on the bump. Donnie, she was trying to walk Texas's Reese Atwood to load the bases. 3-0 count intentionally. She's so good, she can't miss the strike zone by that much. And Reese Atwood hits a game-winning 2-RBI single to give Texas the victory 2-1 in the opener.
Got a way to improve softball here, Ben. Might be commissioner. Move the mound back 15 feet. Let's get some runs, man. Come on.
What are you talking college softball? He stole my heart. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A week filled of championships here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. On this Thursday, it is the opening day of the 2025 NBA Finals. We'll talk all about that later on in this opening hour. On a Wednesday night, it was the beginning. The puck drop of the 2025 Stanley Cup Final and a rematch between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Of course, last year, it was Florida hoisting the cup, winning in a diabolical seven-game set that saw Florida open up a 3-0 series advantage in that set, only for Edmonton to rally to force a Game 7 in Sunrise, for the Panthers to hold on for a 2-1 win, and of course, a cup. So DRS, we compared a lot getting ready for this cup final. The similarities to last year's two clubs in this same and significant spot, and what the differences might be. Well, one of the main differences before we even got going, home ice advantage. That belongs to the Oilers up in the Great White North. In game number one was in Edmonton. The Oilers, a home ice favorite, a total of 6.5. But would the result of this year's Stanley Cup final also look different? Well, through one game, the answer to that question is very much a yes. Edmonton wins in OT, 4-3, courtesy of the second goal of the game by Leon Draisaitl. He snipes in the game winner with 31 ticks remaining in that overtime session off a dime from Connor McDavid. The Oilers win game number one and take a 1-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup final with the 4-3 win.
Yeah, great start to the game, too, for the Oilers. You take a look at that goal scored within the first, like, minute and a half of the game. The fastest scored in Stanley Cup playoff history in game number one from Reggie Leach's Philadelphia Flyers when they took on the Montreal Canadiens in the mid-1970s. That gets the house started, but how about this? Give it about, like, an hour and 15 minutes of real time later. You start the second period, and it's 3-1 yeah. Florida. Oh, no, here we go. It's going to be a blowout. The Panthers are just too deep. All three lines, better goaltending. And then the game finishes up 4-3 with an exciting overtime goal by Leon Draisaitl there. Open the game. Grand opening, grand closing. It was Leon Draisaitl last night, giving the Oilers that 1-0 lead. You have to hold home ice here. Now it's even more important for the Edmonton Oilers in game number two to win that game and put the ultimate pressure on the Florida Panthers here. Great start for the Oilers. Great finish for the Oilers. And this is something that I talked about opening the show. The Florida Panthers don't give up two-goal leads here very often. As a matter of fact, the fact they did it in the Stanley Cup Finals in game number one, even more shocking here. They were looking to take that vice grip and home ice advantage back even after game number one. Weren't able to do that. Love to see it. The Oilers should be proud because they got that game one victory. Now they can be the aggressors here moving forward.
Donnie's Canadian team up 1-0 in the Stanley Cup final, trying to bring that cup back to the Great White North. Of course, no Canadian team has won Lord Stanley's Cup since the Canadiens did it back in 1993, now over 30 years ago. Edmonton just three wins away from changing the course of history of Canada's sport, that being hockey. Last year, DRS, of course, the Oilers fell in that nearly impossible to overcome 0-3 hole because playoff Bob Sergei Bobrovsky, the netminder for Florida, was nearly untouchable in the opening three games of that set, allowed a total of four goals in the first three games and blanked the Oilers in game number one. Not last night. Edmonton scores four, and courtesy of the OT winner off the stick of Draisaitl, a total does push to the over of 6.5. Again, Edmonton was that slight home ice favorite, around a minus 122 money line price entering the opening game of this cup final in DRS because of home ice advantage. Edmonton was also a slight favorite to win Lord Stanley's Cup at minus 125. That number is about a dollar longer today for Edmonton. A stronger price in minus 225 for the Oilers to win the cup and exact their revenge in the Stanley Cup rematch against Florida.
Exactly. Those numbers are going to swing wildly on a game-to-game basis. Close, almost like a pick'em here to open up. Now you have a win here. You get a 2-0 series lead. You then secured your home ice advantage, regardless of what happens in Florida, where you would be hoping for a split. So I agree that the Oilers should be this favorite, but also understand this. Florida's a really good team here. They were up 3-1 in that game, let it slip away, three unanswered goals, including the overtime winner from Leon Draisaitl. I'm looking forward to see what happens in game number two, because that first period is going to be tremendous. We got three goals scored in the first period to open this up. Let's see see if the series tightens. And also talking about yesterday, how much fun it has been to have a 6.5 as a total, which was plus money yesterday on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Get 7 goals in that game. I want to see where we wind up one the time the puck drops in game number 2. More 6.5, more higher scoring goals. Are we going to have more penalties called? Because there was a flurry of penalties called right out of the gate here. So a fun environment. I like this as opposed to 1-0 hockey. We'll see if that shifts in game number 2.
Of course, DRS, we understand that this series and the outright odds are going to shift game by game in a series we expected to go 7 before game number 1 started last night, and that is still the expectation. It was plus 165 to see the distance for a second consecutive year. Probably not 3-3 and then 1, but maybe back and forth throughout the duration of this series. Still the shortest and most likely outcome is this series to go its entire duration and reach a 7th game at plus 185, which makes that price on the Panthers as a 1.5 underdog in the series spread intriguing to me, DRS, because if the odds makers are correct in 1 and we see 7 games, it doesn't matter if Florida ends up defending the cup. This gets to a 7th game, you cash that ticket, the Panthers plus 1.5.
Yeah, exactly. And also take a look at the series line as well, just on the money line, plus 184. I mean, this is the Stanley Cup champions, been there 3 straight years. You don't think the Florida Panthers can be 4-1 in the series. That would be shocking, or a sweep here. It's like, oh, you know what? Lost game 2. Why even play games 3 and games number 4? So I imagine most people are looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook today, not clicking on the Oilers over a $2 favorite, but saying, you know what? Florida's too damn good to have this price. Understand they lost. They didn't lose on their home ice. They lost on the road. That's expected. They were slight underdog yesterday anyway. You'll see if they fight back in game number 2. Even if they don't, people will still be buying back in on the Florida Panthers after 2 games here with a crazy high price.
Game number 2 on Friday night. That is tomorrow. Edmonton a minus 128 money line favorite. DRS, your favorite Canadian hockey team, your favorite Western Conference team, your favorite German player scores the game winner in OT for 2 goals, and yet Leon Draisaitl still remains a plus 430 price to win the Conn Smythe. Connor McDavid and the narrative plus 2 assists, including on the game winner in OT, minus 150. Major League Baseball recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We go around Major League Baseball from a nearly full slate on a Wednesday to recap here on a Thursday morning. Why nearly full? Our game between the Cardinals and the Royals in St. Louis under the arch. Game number 2 for Jackie Cags. Jack Caglione in his MLB debut rained out yesterday. They are scheduled to play a doubleheader on this Thursday. DRS, one of the marquee matchups this week during the midweek, that is out in Los Angeles. The NLCS rematch for a second time this season from a year ago between the New York Mets and the LA Dodgers. Game number 3 yesterday of a 4-game set this week, and the New York Mets have taken 2 of 3. They also took 2 of 3 a couple of weekends back up in Queens. Yesterday, really courtesy of the power and the bat of Pete Alonso. 2 home runs, a 3-run shot, a 2-run shot, and the New York Mets take game number 3 for a series advantage with a 6-1 win last night in Los Angeles.
Yeah, impressive performance, too, from Griffin Canning on the mound here. 6 innings pitched, no earned runs yesterday on the road. 7 strikeouts, only 1 free pass here. I mean, heck, the Dodgers didn't even score a run till the bottom of the 9th inning at that point. But also for me, I told you yesterday, I thought the Mets were a better team here. Take them at that slight underdog price made a lot of sense, and it won. But also loved the Mets team total over 4.5 because I thought they could get to Tony Gonsolin. Now, technically, they did. 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 3 of them given up. But the fact that they needed that 3 spot in the 8th inning again by the Polar Bear to get me over the hump, that was a little bit stressful at that point. But the Mets were the better team last night, no doubt about it. Thought they had the better pitcher and the better lineup on the mound, and it won there. Also, the totals, 9.5, 10s around the marketplace, depending where you're shopping. Yeah. That ends up staying under, which is interesting. If you would have told me before the game, hey, Pete's going to get 5 RBI and hit 2 home runs in this game, yeah, this game probably has 15 total runs. Not the case. The Mets starters and bullpen fantastic in this game.
He added on that 3-1 home run for Pete Alonso, the polar bear, in the eighth inning. Some insurance, mm-hmm. and then Andy Páez, a solo shot in the home half of the ninth, as DRS alluded to. The only run scored by L.A. So the Mets took 2 of 3 in Queens inside Citi Field 2 weekends ago against the L.A. Dodgers in the first NLCS rematch. With a victory today, the New York Mets will win both series in the NLCS rematch throughout the regular season against Los Angeles. Our fourth and final game, the series finale this afternoon out at Chavez Ravine. And DRS, our first game between these two teams, not to go to extra innings and see a 10th frame, which has also been the story up in San Francisco throughout the week. Both of the opening two games between the Padres and the Giants going to a 10th inning. Not yesterday. The Padres had a 5-0 lead after the top of the fifth, and the Giants find their way back to rally. Finally, DRS snapping a 16-game streak of not scoring more than 4 runs. The Giants yesterday score more than 4. In fact, make it 6. Jung-Hoo Lee, an RBI sack fly, the game-winning run in the bottom of the 7th, a part of a 3-run 7th inning for San Francisco. The Giants pick up their first victory of this week against San Diego with the 6-5 win.
Yeah, crazy. I just think, you know what, you don't fade the ballpark. You sort of fade the two teams playing in it. Probably would say under there. 6-5 final, 11 total runs easily going over that game. I think it was 7.5 at game time yesterday. Nick Pivetta was really good until he wasn't really good in that game. That's crazy. You get staked to a 5-0 lead in that ballpark. That's like having an 8-run lead anywhere else because how hard it is typically to score runs out there, but not easily done here and giving it up here. The Padres, by the way, Pivetta goes 6 innings, 5 earned runs, was cruising for a while. Then Adam comes in, gives up that 1 run, and then Peralta came in after him. But also Harrison wasn't very good either. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 9 hits, 5 earned runs there, but the bullpen was clean on the way out. Two teams that don't necessarily match up extremely well in that ballpark, and even more so the San Francisco Giants. We talked about Ramos a little bit yesterday. He ends up getting an RBI. We talked about Matt Chapman. He ends up getting that RBI. Maybe Lee starting to come back here. 2 of 3 at the plate yesterday for San Francisco. His average back up to a 274. That's a good win for San Francisco coming back there against a division rival. And the Padres 35-24. The Giants 34-28. That is a clogged division in the NL West.
Yes, it certainly is. The Dodgers lose, the Padres lose. So still a game separating San Diego and L.A. The San Francisco Giants now 3 games back courtesy of that win. DRS, the Atlanta Braves trickle deeper under 500. Yesterday in a low-scoring affair in Atlanta, the Diamondbacks still pick up a 1-run win. 2-1 in a pitcher's duel between Merrill Kelly and Chris Sale. But at the end of the day, the Snakes get the win. We'll get your thoughts on that game between the D-backs and the Braves yesterday in the A on the other side of the break, filled with plenty more MLB headlines, including the Colorado Rockies sweeping an opponent for the first time in more than a year. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So as we said right before the break, yesterday in Atlanta, the Diamondbacks and the Braves squaring off in the second game of a 3-game set. Also, let me just address something rather quickly. We're having some AC issues here in our New York City studios, and it's a hot one today. It's already north of 80 degrees. Goodness. So the jacket is off so I can remain cool, but the professionalism still at an all-time high here on the early line. It also doesn't matter. We're focusing on Major League Baseball. DRS, the Snakes pick up their second consecutive win in Atlanta, 2-1 yesterday in a pitcher's duel between Merrill Kelly and Chris Sale. Now the Braves, 6 games sub .500, 27-33 through that 60-game mark of this season.
Team stinks right now. It really does. We had Mark Zeno on yesterday, and the thoughts were the same, Ben. We went over but nobody's going to lay that price, and then we handicapped the game a little bit later. I said the same exact thing. And also, it was like you're getting chump change out there with Merrill Kelly. He's been good this year, and specifically as of late. 7 innings pitched, no earned runs, holding down those bats down in the Big A. A big win for the Diamondbacks as they close closer to 500 here. But the Atlanta Braves, like, it just seems like everything is going wrong. And also understand this. The Diamondbacks going up against Chris Sale. Like, Chris Sale's a really good pitcher, 10 Ks, but they also were 2 of 10 with runners in scoring position. So they had a lot of opportunities, but only played at 2 runs. You flip it over to the Braves, only had 6 runners in scoring position yesterday, only played at 1 run. That's just not doable and sustainable. The Mets are playing really good baseball. Maybe the Phillies will bounce back. They had a tough loss yesterday, but you're not gaining any ground. You're losing ground by the day, and you have to jump 2 teams, being back roughly 10 games in the division. I don't know what has to change. Like, Acuna came back, hey, give us a lift. Strider came back, hey, give us a lift. Nothing is working for the Braves.
Yeah, it's really not, DRS. And things got a little bit dicey in the home half of the ninth, where Atlanta scored its first run of the game on a bases-loaded walk, and then thus had the bases loaded, but unable to convert at the end. Merrill Kelly, sensational. Chris Sale, not bad on the other side, despite recording the loss yesterday against Arizona. The D-backs entered this series, dropping 9 of their last 11. They won game 1, 8-3. Yesterday, a much lower scoring affair, winning 2-1. Now they're just a game sub 500, 30-31. The Atlanta Braves, different story, 27-33. Of course, DRS, we have talked about the Braves so many times this year from a similar type of narrative. They started 0-7. No team has ever started an MLB campaign 0-7 and reached the postseason. But this Atlanta team had the third best preseason price to win a World Series, second best number to win the National League pennant, only behind the LA Dodgers, and now in the expanded postseason, in the initial wild card spot for the Braves to claw their way back. A couple of weekends ago, we had some fun with rivalry weekend, right? Well, Atlanta took advantage. They won 2 of 3 against the Red Sox. And in each of those games, DRS, in each of the victories against Boston, the Braves got north of 500, a game above 500, a winning record for the first time in 2025. At the end of that series against the Sox, taking 2 of 3, Atlanta was 24-23, above 500, a winning record. You started to feel the optimism once again for Atlanta. Since, they have dropped 10 of their last 13, and that is why, DRS, only through 60 games, even in early June, the Braves are firmly on fork watch. And if you ask some, that fork is square in the middle of Atlanta at this moment.
Yeah, this, again, we still have roughly 4 months to go. You know, hey, look at that. 1-7 of 8 games. You're right back in it. The vibes are good. They have the talent to do that. It's sort of an anomaly right now because the lineup is supposed to be good with just the names on the paper. The injured players are coming back into the lineup. Like, even the Baldwins here coming up from minor leagues as a good young hitting catcher from the left side. But nothing is really panning out. And those games yesterday are exactly why. You have your ace on the mound and he basically dominates. And you still don't win at home against a team, as you said, struggling coming into that environment. That's the type of time where you're like, you know what, my ace is going to put a stop to this. And he did. He was really good, Chris Sale. And you still lost. Those are the demoralizing ones here that you say, you know what, we just let our team down at this point. We got exactly the start we wanted for Chris Sale to be a stopper, but we weren't able to stop anything. Why? Because we couldn't get any base hits when it absolutely mattered. Things are dire right now in Atlanta for sure.
Certainly they are, DRS. And things are still very dire for the Colorado Rockies. But this week was one of celebration in South Florida, in Miami, as they can often be. The Rockies win not one, not two, but 3 games against the Fish this week to complete and pull off the midweek series sweep over the Marlins. The first sweep recorded by the Rockies as a team since May of 2024, in over a year. In fact, DRS, it is just the first 3-game win streak for Colorado this season. First 3-game win streak for the Rockies since September of last year in 2024. The Rocks take all 3 from Miami this week on the road.
It's almost like, what sport are we playing? Like, they said the Rockies and the Marlins just play the remaining games against each other for the rest of the season. Like,
relegation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like, all teams are supposed to be built the same. Like, that's why you have restraints. Like, okay, you can't spend over this apron, or there's a salary cap here, and draft picks here and whatnot. And then you have teams operate like the New York Mets, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they have teams operate like the Rockies and the Marlins. Like, they're like, you just played a Major League Baseball game, and you don't have one single household name playing in that game on either team. That's an embarrassment for both of those organizations. I mean, not a single superstar between, what, 50 total players or so in a Major League Baseball game? Embarrassing effort. Nobody watched that series. And even more embarrassing wasn't that the Rockies, like, hey, we got a 3-game win streak here. We got 12 wins. It was like the Marlins were at home and just got swept by the Rockies. What type of organization is that?
Yeah, that's also very tough for Miami, who is not playing good baseball at this moment. 23-37, now the record through 60 games for the Fish. DRS, there was the meme going around over the weekend when the Rockies dropped to 9-50 that Scottie Scheffler, after completing his second straight win at the Memorial Tournament, had won three times since May 2nd. It was the same number of wins for Colorado as an MLB team since May 2nd. The Rockies had some fun this week. Three wins for Colorado since the start of June. Scottie Scheffler only has one. All right, as we keep going, DRS, Seidon Rafaela, the walk-off blast for Boston yesterday as the Sox avoid a sweep against the Angels. And I say blast with emphasis, kind of from a joking perspective. 308 feet right around pesky pole, curving it in there in right field. The Red Sox win 11-9, walking it off at Fenway in the home half of the ninth. That 308-foot walk-off home run, the shortest recorded walk-off homer in MLB history.
Yeah, sent out a tweet yesterday that that would have probably been in the upper deck in Yankee Stadium had that ball been hit there, because that clown show that ball. And like, how do we have two clown show like sort of ballparks in the same division there? Two historic stadiums, history, if you want to just call Yankee Stadium historic, because it just has the name Yankee Stadium, but the other stadium was actually better than the new stadium. How about that? I hope Boston never changes, because I do like that quirk, but come on now. A home run there. And if you even heard the telecast on the call, it's like ball hit down the line and home run. Wow. Like, what happened here on that play? Like, everybody was baffled by that. But also, Ben, we talked about the handicap yesterday. I didn't necessarily like the game, but the weather conditions were as good as you're going to get in Boston. Around 80 degrees with the wind blowing out the center field. Yeah. Forget about the batters. Forget about the pitchers. You got 20 total runs yesterday because of how good that environment was. Look at 7 of 11 with runners in scoring position for the Angels. 6 of 14 for the Red Sox, man. That is a dream when you're taking RBI props and certainly team totals.
Speaking of that stadium up in the Bronx, the Yankees blanked yesterday by the Cleveland Guardians, who scored three runs in the first, four in total. Cleveland wins 4-0 over the Pinstripes. The Toronto Blue Jays walk it off yesterday to beat the Philadelphia Phillies at home. Alejandro Kirk, the game-winning RBI in the home half of that ninth inning to beat the Fightins.
Yeah, Mick Abel good again in his second start here in Major League Baseball. Maybe they got something here waiting on Painter's, one of the best prospects in baseball as a pitcher, supposed to come up in July. So things looking good. An embarrassment of riches here in the starting pitching. But Jordan Romano goes back to Toronto here, struggling on the season, struggles again in the ninth inning. The Phillies lose that game. We'll see if they bounce back today as a slight favorite against the Toronto Blue Jays.
And again, DRS, that's one of the concerns right now, right, for Philadelphia, the back end of the bullpen in tight games. The Blue Jays take advantage yesterday. All right, it's finally here, the opening day of the NBA Finals. We'll preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. It is finally here. For the first time in four full days, we have a playoff basketball game around the association tonight, and not just any playoff basketball game, the opening game. Game number one of the 2025 NBA Finals in Oklahoma City. It's the Thunder and the Pacers. And DRS, whether it's game number one or the entirety of this championship set in the NBA, we know that the Thunder are going to be expected to make this look rather quick and comfortable as a hefty favorite. But a small bit of change in the series outright price here on the morning of the debut of the 2025 NBA Finals. As this series was set, after Indiana won the Eastern Conference crown in six games on Saturday night, line opened up, Thunder a minus 750 outright favorite. We'll take that off by a half buck. Oklahoma City still a strong, strong favorite to be crowned an NBA champion, but now minus 700. Again, DRS, we're talking 50 cents, and it's still a minus 700 price. But does that line movement in the outright number to win a Larry O'Brien trophy here on the opening day of the NBA Finals mean anything to you?
Not necessarily, because it's still a ridiculous favorite there. I think most people probably look and say, man, I'm going to get this much pricing here on the Pacers before we even get started. And maybe the Pacers can steal game number one. Then you have an automatic cash out ticket in your pocket. I get that. And also understand this from a public perspective. If you are the betting public where you're throwing in, let's just say, $10, $50, $100, are you putting in that $50 on minus 700 on the Thunder? Or you say, you know what? I want to have a good time in this series. Let me put down $50 on a 5-1 price and really start to cheer on the Pacers. Because if it loses, yes, you're out $50. But boy, you know, the exponential payout on the opposite end is probably worth that here. And that's where some of that money goes into it here. Or are the Sharps going to load up on the Thunder? Minus 700. That's crazy. I have them booked out at minus 950. Yeah. Now I'm getting a positive price. I'm going to lay the wood here on the Thunder. We'll see where this is before the game actually starts. But I'm not surprised that that's come back lower, because the casual fan is going to look at that and say, that price is ridiculous. I'm never betting the Thunder at minus 700. But hey, if I like the Pacers a little bit in the series to be competitive, why not take a 5-1 price or a plus 550 price there before it drops back down? So that's the reasoning behind it at this point. Nobody's taking the Thunder at that price.
Yeah, and just a couple of updated odds perspectives as well. The results and the expectation the same. A couple of different cents here and there, right? 50 cents off the outright price, but the Thunder being a minus 700 favorite in the NBA Finals is history in itself. OKC has won 80 games, regular and postseason, one of four teams in NBA history to complete that feat prior to the NBA Finals. OKC, as a 2.5-game favorite in the series spread, is still the expected outcome. That's minus 122. For the Thunder to cash that ticket, DRS, they have to win in at most 5 games, which is still the shortest correct score, now at plus 225 for OKC in 5, pulling off the gentleman's sweep. In the second shortest number, the second most likely outcome is the Thunder just in a straight sweep in only 4 games at plus 300.
Yeah, and we'll get to a little bit later in the show, like what we think game one is actually going to be, where the money's going in that respect. But from like a gambling perspective, yeah, it's really hard to take and say, we see that minus 700 price as, oh, I think the Pacers can win that series, because it's a daunting number here, no doubt about it. But there are other ways that you can bet, because we're trying to figure out what Indiana Pacers team we're going to get. But here's the problem with that. They look good in series one. They look good in series two. They look good in series number three. So it's almost we're talking about the Pacers like the little engine that could, and everybody just forfeited on their way and there's not supposed to be here. Like, they didn't get a lot of respect from the regular season into the playoffs, but you sort of start to demand respect by saying, we were supposed to lose multiple series this year coming in now, and we're winning them, and in some frames here, handily winning this series. I don't care if the team's a little bit nicked up or not. You knock off the number one seed when they still have their best player on the court. Like, hey, that means something here. And okay, see, yes, they swept in round number one, but in round number two, when they faced a formidable opponent in Denver, that still went to 7 games at that point. Say what you want about Minnesota, maybe not all that competitive, and we understand how good OKC is, but I think we're sort of feeling this as if it was the NCAA tournament. It's a 1 seed versus like a 9 seed. Like, it's, hey, man, this can't happen. There's no way they can get by at this point, when I don't really believe that's the case. I think the Pacers will be competitive, but competitive enough to make it a 6-game series, or, hey, they played well for 5 games and won one of those, but it was really a gentleman's sweep, and that's all you can do.
Indiana to get this to a 6th game, just over 5.5 games, regardless of the result in those series odds, is still plus money, plus 112. Again, minus 140 to the under of 5.5 games, expecting this to be done rather swiftly in only 5. DRS, tail of the tape for these two teams when you compare, as we just showed, not the overall records, not just the point differential, but those preseason expectations. Despite the Pacers reaching the Eastern Conference Finals last season, still 50-1 before the year. They had the 7th best price to win the Eastern Conference crown before this year got underway. Oklahoma City, a different story. They were supposed to be on this significant stage, but that is a first for this crew, led by Mark Daigneault in his 5th year in Oklahoma City, and of course now the new MVP in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That plus 650 preseason NBA championship price, second best only behind Boston, but the best number out of the Western Conference. This is the 17th season for the Thunder in OKC since they departed as the Supersonics from Seattle. The first NBA Finals appearance for Oklahoma City since 2012 as a franchise in the overall lore, DRS, looking for that first Larry O'Brien trophy since 1979. This is just the second NBA Finals appearance for Indiana in their 49 full years as an NBA franchise. Their first since the year 2000, 2.5 decades ago. Now, the Pacers won four ABA titles in 1970, 72, and 73. They have never won a true NBA championship, and a hefty underdog trying to overcome those odds entering the 2025 rendition.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to watch it play out. And you're right, for a basketball state that loves its basketball that much, it's got a lot of correlations, like, to the Mecca. Like, basketball heaven is New York City. It's like, boy, they won 10 championships in the last time. No, they haven't. They don't win anything over 50 years. So for the Pacers to finally break through in that basketball Mecca, that would mean something here. But OKC, they've been through the fire. We doubted them the entire season. Oh, not ready to win, and we'll see how they hold up to the pressure. They've held up to the pressure perfectly in the playoffs and looking for a coronation now.
We'll go game by game throughout the NBA Finals coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening day of the 2025 NBA Finals. Tonight is game number one inside Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. Of course, OKC is a hefty favorite, not just to win game number one from the very jump, but to take this series and be crowned an NBA champion. DRS, we have talked often about what the odds are saying for Oklahoma City and us hoping this series is at least competitive, both in the individual games and in the distance of this championship set. We are hoping it gets to six. Here are the odds on both the Thunder and the Pacers in the series correct score. That is the team to win and in how many games. Again, the most likely outcome is Oklahoma City in five at plus 225. To pull off the straight sweep, that is 3-1. DRS, basically every price for the Thunder to win an NBA championship is half that of the Indiana Pacers. If I ask you to place a bet on the distance of this series, on the duration of this series, and you had to bet one thing, what would it be?
It's probably, if I had to bet, would be game five. But if I was just being smart with my money, I'd bet 5 and 6 here, plus 225 and plus 410, and say to myself, I don't think there's going to be a sweep. And I don't think Indiana wins this. And therefore, it's probably not going to go seven games. Then I'll take my plus money there and hopefully root on a game six victory by Oklahoma City on the road to close out the Indiana Pacers. That's the way I would do it. Because, again, they're a good team. They're going to. I would be really surprised if we do get a sweep here. Because, again, Indiana's a good basketball team. Indiana's going to have two home games here. You know, OKC hasn't played great in every single game they played. I mean, heck, you even go back to, they easily dispatched to the Timberwolves. You see one of those games, they got absolutely slaughtered in one of those games. Yeah. You do have an off night where the other team is better. We do know the ramifications of how good Indiana can be and run up and down the court. There are high totals for these games around 230 as we're pricing them. So Indiana's going to be in it. So for me, if I had to bet one, it's probably five. But if I had to be smart with my money, I'd bet 5 and 6 where the Thunder would win. If you're looking for the Pacers, I mean, good luck in four games where they reverse sweep per se, 55-1. But you could probably say, all right, I'll take a flyer a little bit on a game number seven. If it gets there, maybe the Pacers say, you know what? We fought all the way through. Anything can happen in game number seven. Halliburton's raining in logo threes. Miles Turner's draining threes left and right. Neesmith is an absolute maniac on defense, right? That's how you play it. But for me, it would be game five for the Thunder. But I would like to bet games 5 and 6 in the fashion for the Thunder and just root on that it ends in six games at the higher price at plus 420. Or plus 410.
And you'll make your money back even if it is five games, which is the drastically shorter price at plus 225. Again, if you are hoping Indiana is at least competitive throughout the entirety of the NBA Finals, and that entirety is not just four or five games, over 5.5 games in the series total games over under would be the way that I do it at plus 112. I mean, heck, the Pacers could win in six and you would still cash that bet. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, DRS, expected to add to the growing hardware shelf in his home if the Oklahoma City Thunder can win that NBA championship, minus 550. We don't have to spend a ton of time here on the NBA Finals odds because it's basically the same question as who wins an NBA championship. But is there any realm of possibility in your mind that OKC wins an NBA title and SGA does not go home the NBA Finals MVP?
The outside of it would be a 4-0 series sweep, and he plays 24 minutes a game because they're absolutely smashing the Pacers. So he doesn't have, he scores 15, 16, 17 points and leaves that door open. We get a 5 or 6 game series, or at least Indiana wins a game or two. Yeah, SGA is going to be floating in the high 20s and early 30s. So for me, I say it's really hard to see. You might as well just be looking at a sweep where he doesn't have to play all that much. Then they probably just say, well, we're not going to give it to a bench like Isaiah Joe because he had a good bench performance in 4 straight games in an easy win. So I would be looking and say it's hard pressed, yeah, but it's minus 550. Like, no, he could twist an ankle, miss a game here, and you can have great performances by Chet Holmgren or Williams at that point. So it's hard to say that. Same thing with the start of the series. Hey, who do you think is going to win the Thunder? All right, we'll lay the 7-1. Like, man, minus 700. I don't know about that. Well, SGA is the best player in the series. Oklahoma City wins. Yeah, that's easy. But wait, it's minus 550. Am I laying money out for that? That's what makes it hard to bet at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree. Listen, is it worth a sprinkle on the 25-1 price of Jalen Williams? I could get behind that. Do I think you are going to have a realistic chance of cashing that ticket or even getting a cash out option on the FanDuel Sportsbook throughout the NBA Finals? Not really. Truthfully, it's the narrative behind it. And really, when you think about Oklahoma City winning this series quickly or winning the series at all, that happens because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is performing at the MVP level he has displayed throughout this season. Hour number 2, buy or sell around the NBA Finals, and a look at game 1 next.